Well, I'm thankful to be here. I feel like the Lord has given me a thought to share with you tonight, and I want to offer myself to Him as a mouthpiece.
Yes.
Desire your prayers.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to begin tonight in the book of Psalms, 32nd chapter. Psalms 32 and the 8th verse. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Tonight, you want to know the way that you ought to go?
All right.
There are so many pitfalls and snares in this life. And we know that there's an adversary, an enemy of our soul, who designs for every one of us our eternal destruction.
Yes.
By whatever means he can accomplish it, and by whatever time frame it may be done, the enemy has a snare set and laid for every one of us.
Yes, so.
And you know the nature of a snare? You're not likely going to quickly identify it as being a snare. It's not, it'll look benign, it'll look innocent, it won't look harmful. But there are snares all around us.
Yes.
But this promises us,
yes,
that He said, I will instruct thee.
I will.
And I will teach you in the way that you ought to go.
There you go. Amen.
Thank the Lord, we don't have to be in this all alone. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That's not the way that I want to go through life. There are some errors, although it is a merciful God that we're dealing with. There are some errors that I can't hit the reset button. I can't just hit undo or refresh the browser. There are some errors that I just can't back out of. And I don't want to go through life finding out the hard way.
That's right, brother. Yes.
Tonight, my burden is our responsiveness to God.
Woo.
The Lord, I believe, is faithful.
Yes.
To try to speak to us, to try to show us the way that we ought to go. Job said, He knows the way that I take.
Yes.
He knows the way that every one of us take.
Yes.
And He alone knows the way and has given us the way to heaven.
So.
And the Lord wants to come alongside each one of us and teach us and instruct us,
yes,
in the way that I ought to go,
yes,
to be able to make heaven. But there's a responsibility on me.
Yes.
Whenever I hear the voice,
yes,
you know how easy it can be, maybe it's just a thing that I deal with, but how easy it can be to tune something out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can live right along railroad tracks, and you'll go visit somebody that lives right along the tracks, and it'll just stop you in mid-conversation almost. It just demands all your attention, but you know, if you live in that place long enough, you get to where you don't even notice it. We have a grandfather clock in our house, and people that come to visit us comment on how loud that thing is. And I'm trying to sleep, and it's going off every 15 minutes through the night. I don't hear it.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Our responsiveness. The Lord speaks.
Yes, He does.
But how do I respond to it?
Yes.
I can drown it out. I can ignore it.
Right.
I can override it. And it won't have the effect,
right,
that the Lord designs.
Yes.
The Lord will be faithful to each one of us. But the question is, how responsive am I? How responsive are you to the voice of God?
Yes.
This said, don't be like the horse.
What it said.
Don't be like the mule.
Amen.
Known for its stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to be.
That's
held in by bit and bridle. What does it take to get our attention tonight? What does it take for the Lord to be able to stop me? To be able, you know what a bit and a bridle is? It's needed when you need to course correct. Whenever you need to stop. Whenever you need to turn around. What does it take for the Lord to stop me in my tracks when I'm headed down the wrong way? What does it take for the Lord to be able to course correct me? Whenever I'm starting just by degrees. To stray just a little bit. Have you ever driven in a vehicle that had sloppy steering? Or before the days of power steering? Well, I had a tractor that you could drive along and you could go, I don't know, 20 degrees either way with that steering wheel. And when you're going slowly, it doesn't really matter that much. But the faster you go, the more that variation amplifies. And you'll be headed off in a ditch before you know it, and you have to pull the wheel so far the other way, and before you know it, you're headed into that ditch. Responsiveness is important.
Very important, yes.
To be able to respond, not just when the Lord has to jerk the wheel so far before He can finally get my attention. I believe the Lord would rather be able throughout our lives for us to be responsive to His voice. Then it doesn't take something drastic to wake me up and get my attention. But that by, He said, I will guide thee with mine eye. Are we watching? Are we attentive? Are we responsive whenever we see the slightest indication that the Lord's not pleased with something here? What does it take to get my attention? Well, there was a man who had hardened his heart, would seem by greed and covetousness, and he got an offer that he felt like he couldn't refuse. The condition attached to that offer is, I need you to go up and curse Israel. Ought to have been easy, but somehow it wasn't. Well, let me go ask the Lord about it. And I believe two times. It came back a second time, sweetened the offer. Let me go ask the Lord again. You know what it took to get His attention? It took a donkey talking. I don't want a donkey to have to talk to me. But he was in the way, and the donkey was even as backing up and stopping and getting out of the way, and he wasn't getting it, was he? He wasn't realizing what was going on. What's really behind this? You know what he did instead? He got angry at the animal.
He did, that's right.
And started, hollering at it, beating it. You know, we can be the same way.
Wow.
Whenever things in life come our way,
yeah,
and the Lord's trying to get my attention, the Lord's trying to cause me to turn aside and listen for a moment.
Yeah.
And if I'm not real responsive, I can be a little bit like Balaam and start to lash out,
yeah,
at others,
uh-huh,
at the person I'm interacting with, at the circumstance that I'm going through right now, and just chafe and get irritable under it. Or I can say, Lord, Lord, speak. For thy servant heareth. Lord, I want to listen. Are you trying to get something through to me here? He didn't get it. Finally saw the angel right out in front of him.
Yeah.
Even when the donkey talked, he didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
Starts talking back to the donkey. It's still not registering.
Whoa.
This isn't normal. There's something else going on here.
Yeah.
Lord, help us not to harden our hearts.
Yes, so
that we get to the point that I'm just not getting it. that the things the Lord's sending my way are to try to wake me up. But the small pricks aren't doing it anymore. It takes something more and more. Do we respond to the warnings? Think about Samson. Samson had warnings from his parents. And he went on and he overrode that. And he went on to have his way. He had what would have seemed like wake-up call after wake-up call. Whenever he falls asleep, and he wakes up with the Philistines upon him, and he realized, should have realized, that she was being deceitful. I see what her purpose is. I know what she's after now. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I should have seen it. I should have known what was going on here. You know what? When you are pursuing the flesh headlong, it is going to be very difficult to hear the voice of wisdom. It's going to be very hard to hear the voice of God whenever I set my course to go home headlong after the things of the flesh. The voice of the Lord will seem fainter and fainter and will so quickly be drowned out by the cry of the flesh. I'd like to look at Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs 1, begin in the 20th verse. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I've called. But remember, we said the Lord will call, but I have a responsibility to respond to the call, to respond to His voice. I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised or counted of little value all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's all there is left. If you're going to choose your own way, if you're not going to listen when I say turn aside, stop, don't head down that direction. Course correct before you go any further down that path. If you're not going to do that, all that's left is the fruit of your own doings. That used to be a hard passage for me to read. I will laugh at your calamity. Lord, I can't hardly imagine knowing the God that you are. But you know, this is personifying wisdom. The voice of wisdom. The voice of wisdom cries out. It cries out to, can we say common sense? More than common sense. But you get the idea that the thought of wisdom, it goes forth, it pleads. When we turn away from wisdom, wisdom will laugh at us. Whenever I get into my own devices, whenever I go off the ditch, wisdom is going to laugh. Whenever I look and say, oh, What was I thinking? What was I doing? I should have known better. And I'm under the torment of that. That's wisdom laughing. Because I despised it, I turned aside from it whenever it could have helped me. And now it's like a mockery ringing in my ears. Well, the cry tonight is, this is still the day of salvation.
Yes, it is, right?
This is still the time when we can call upon the Lord.
Yes.
When He'll hearken to our cry. Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Oh, how many times and in how many ways did God speak unto His people? Did God try to get their attention? Think back to the time that Moses was walking through the wilderness and Moses saw a bush that was burning. And it says Moses turned aside to see that thing. And when God saw that Moses turned aside, God spoke out of the bush. I believe that sometimes the Lord allows situations in our lives to be like the burning bush, to get my attention, to cause me to stop if I will, to stop and turn aside unto the Lord and say, Lord, is there something in this for me? Lord, I'm not just looking for the quickest escape route. I'm not looking to blame it on someone or something else.
Yeah.
Lord, is this You trying to get my attention?
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke out of that bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered, Lord, how many times did I miss Your voice? Because I was too busy.
Too busy.
I had my mind on something else. Lord, how many times did I pass up the opportunity when You said, Clint, I wanted to teach you something valuable right here. Right on by. Lord, help me to slow down. To listen for that voice. God spoke in these sundry times and divers manners in times past. But He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son,
glory,
whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds.
Yes.
Oh, thank the Lord He is still speaking today.
Yes, He is.
Thank the Lord that the voice that once thundered on Mount Sinai would like to ring throughout our hearts. That voice that called out is still speaking. It's not out over the plains and on the mountains, but it speaks to our hearts,
yes,
to our minds, yes, that'll be turned unto God,
yes,
to the One that'll turn aside to hear His reproof. He's speaking.
Yes.
Think about whenever Jesus was here in the flesh, and He would teach.
Yes.
And there were people who came and no doubt heard some of His words and would come to Him and say, Master, show us a sign. I want something big. I want something magnificent, something grand. I want some wow factor here. And you know, many times, say, that's not what I'm here for. I've already shown the signs for the heart that'll see it. For those that have ears to hear, I've already spoken the signs. It's right before you. It's already here. You don't need something more. I think about the rich man who died and went to hell. Where he lifted up his eyes and he beheld Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man cried out, of course, saying, I'm tormented in this flame. Give me a drop of water. And he also said, I believe I have five brethren. Back there, let me go back or send someone to talk to them that they not come to this place. If someone can come from the dead, if someone can come from still have a smell of smoke on him, so to speak, surely that would get their attention. said, no. They have everything they need. They have enough. They're not going to be given that sign. They have the word. They have the prophets. They have what's been given to them. They have the same thing that you had, that you turned from, that you would not hearken unto. What is it we're waiting for? What will it take to wake me up if I slumber? What will it take to get my attention if I am distracted? Will it take just a slight nudge? Or am I waiting for something huge to get my attention? What are you doing with the voice of wisdom? How responsive are you to it? His voice speaks most often as a still small one that I can so easily choose to ignore, that I can choose to turn aside from, that I can even reason in my mind, did I really hear that or not? So still and quiet is His voice. I've got to want it. I've got to want to hear it. The Lord who calls, who sends His word, I've got to want it and respond to it. You know, we can go through week after week, camp meeting after camp meeting, coming out and hearing the word. Thank the Lord. Keep doing it. But I again want to ask us, how responsive have you been to it? How responsive have you been to the places in your life? Have you seen the word, the messages that you've heard go forth? Have you seen them as for yourself? Or is it always just a sound of that old preacher? You know, even Jesus in His own land. Oh, we know who this is. We've seen Him from the time He's a child. And it limited what the Lord was able to do in their midst. Can we limit the Lord? What He's able to do in our lives? By my lack of responsiveness? Can my heart, you think, be in a condition that I can come even into a setting like this and the Lord be dealing with somebody right next to me and I not feel a thing? Scripture says the same word was preached unto you as was preached unto them. But it didn't profit them. There was a missing ingredient. It wasn't mixed with faith. It went in one ear and it went right out the other. And it really didn't do them any good. Folks, the Word of God is good. Hear it every chance you can. Read it every opportunity you get. But you know, if I choose to turn from its reproof, if I choose to not hearken unto it, do you know the Word can actually have an adverse effect on me? It can actually serve to harden me. Just as those who some found Jesus to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and yet others found Him to be precious. The difference wasn't in Jesus. It was in the heart of the listener. Lord, help each of us as listeners here tonight to consider my responsiveness. I'd like to turn to the third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in somebody out there, lest there be in any of you, lest there be in me, an evil heart. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily While it is called today, folks, let's not go too far. You know, the longer and further we go in a course that we've set, the harder it is to course correct. And it's why I believe the Lord would like to, for us to walk closely enough to Him. That as soon as I start to turn the wrong way, I hear a voice behind me saying, "No, my child, this is the way. Walk ye in it." But if I've hardened my heart against it, I can just keep on going and keep on going. And before I know it, have you ever heard somebody say, "I won't go very far. I'm just going out a little ways. I just want to try a few of the things out in the world that Mom and Dad wouldn't let me try." Oh, how true the song, "Sin will take you further than you want to go. Further than you ever imagined." Because as you start pursuing the flesh, the voice of the Spirit gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer in your ears. The further you pursue that, the fainter the sound. Harden not your hearts. Exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. What are we doing with the voice of the Lord? I want to exhort us and plead with us tonight. When you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Don't turn a deaf ear unto it. There is a song in our book. While you are sliding God's mercy, harder and harder you grow. I want to read you a definition of sliding. To slight means to neglect. You think sliding God's mouth, that's for the sinner that curses at Him, doesn't want anything to do with Him. To slight is to neglect, to disregard from the consideration that the thing is of little value and unworthy of notice. Is it possible that we do that with the voice of the Lord? That we neglect the voice of the Lord? You ever have the Lord come along and nudge you? Tap you on the shoulder and I think, "Oh yeah, I need to take care of that. I need to do something about that." What did James tell us about that? Be careful. It's good to hear, but that's not enough. And as I mentioned a moment ago, hearing can also have the effect of hardening. Because if I hear and I don't do, I hear but I don't let the Word work within me, I don't respond to it. James said the effect of that would be that you deceive yourselves. That I go along my way and I forget what kind of person I was. There's so many distractions in this world. There are so many notifications that pop up on a phone, in our minds. The enemy will try to bombard us with distractions. How easy it's going to be if I slight, if I neglect, if I disregard as something of little value, and I don't esteem it of utmost value, I can go along my heart growing harder and harder to where it takes more and more for the Lord to really get a hold of me. That it's harder and harder for the preached word to really have an effect on my heart. Folks, this isn't just to the sinner. Because I'm going to tell you, since I've been saved, sanctified, and a minister, the Lord's had to come along before and show me places of Clint, you're not as responsive here in this place as you used to be. Clint, be careful here. And I've realized I've started to harden. in that area of my life. I've started to develop some calluses here. Lord, soften my heart. Lord, I don't want to become hardened. I don't want to become numbed to your dealings in my life. I want to qualify what we're talking about. Do you know who will usually respond to a message like this? Or just about any message? Those who are sensitive of heart. Because they're sensitive of heart. This is not about being under a bondage of accusation. This is not about me going through life always uncertain. Have I done wrong? Should I have done this? Should I not have done that? There is torment in that. And the Lord wants to set us free from that. This voice that we started out with, I'll teach you in the way that you're to go. I'll speak to you. The Lord wants to speak to us and to guide us through those places that we can navigate accusation as well. So that it's not just overreaction or overcorrection. I need to be responsive to the Lord's voice. Any of you ever use metal detectors? You know, you can go out and on a beach or in some place where there's been much traffic or many people, and that thing will beep and beep and beep and beep and beep, and the first few times you get excited, and I heard a beep, this will be something good, and you get down there and it's a pop can. You get down and it's an old rusty nail. It's junk. There's nothing to it. You know they have filters that try to discriminate that. To try to filter out the noise. To try to help you to understand. This beep right here, that's the real thing. This sound you just heard, that's something worth digging for. This other noise that you're hearing, it's just noise. You know the Lord wants to calibrate a sensitive conscience as well. To be able to learn and discern, that's noise. That voice brings a weight of uncertainty and guilt and just darkness with it. The voice that I hear over here, it enlightens. It gives me understanding. It makes clear the way before me. That's what I'm digging for. And the Lord wants us to learn how to discriminate between the voice of the accuser of the brethren and the voice of our precious Lord that wants to guide us in the way. Let's turn to the 5th chapter of Hebrews. I believe we'll close here. Hebrews 5 and 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." To be able to discern. To be able to discriminate between my own thoughts, between the accusations of the enemy, and between the voice of God. Some of it's going to come by reason of use. That I'm going to have to exercise myself. Become acquainted with the voice of the Lord. By regular communication with Him. By regular dialogue with Him. Be as that sheep that so knows the voice of a shepherd. To be able to say, I know that voice anywhere. That's the voice of my shepherd. That has a different ring to it over here. That sounds a little different. I'm not going to be distracted by that. By reason of use. May I encourage us tonight to get our focus, if it's not there, on the voice of the Lord. It might involve shutting some things off. It might involve turning away some distractions in life. Lord, there's one thing. As David said, one thing have I sought for, have I desired. Lord, there's one thing I want. I want to be able to appear in your courts. Lord, I want to be able to, as the song says, thy smile is my constant light. What joy that comes with the feeling of the approval of God on our lives. To be able to have the reassurance in our spirit that all is well in our soul. Oh, I want to be able to hear that. I want to be able to appear clear before the Lord. So tonight, wherever you are in life's way, the Lord's speaking. The Lord wants to speak to you tonight. Whatever your crossroads or wherever on the path of life you are, the voice of the Lord may want to call you to a U-turn. The voice of the Lord may want to encourage you on. The voice of the Lord may want to course correct some things at a meeting such as this. How responsive are we? How responsive have you been? You remember when those who have been saved, you remember what it was like when your heart burned with love for the Lord? Do you remember what it was like when you were first serving the Lord? Lord, I'd do anything for you. Lord, if you'll just show me, if you'll just help me to know, and I'm so attentive for that. Believe one of the prophets the Lord spoke to, and he said, I remember. I remember when they went after me as one who's lost their love for God. Tonight, is it still that keen in your heart? Does His love still tug your heart with the same intensity? Do you still feel the draw of His Spirit? I want to tell you a secret. You know, conviction is one of the greatest blessings that you could ever have visit you. Not condemnation. Not the accusation of the enemy. But that burning of the conviction of the Spirit that convicts me I'm in the wrong. I am not where I need to be. Don't turn from the greatest blessing you could ever receive. How responsive will I be to the Lord's conviction? Conviction slighted weakens. And slighted more weakens yet more. Tonight, will we be responsive? I'm not just talking about in this service. Wherever we are in our life, will we respond to the voice and the dealings of the Lord? Pray for me.